The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning tune. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. What's happening?
Heyo.
You good?
Yeah, man, just back here enjoying my pocket muffin.
Kelly walked in this morning and he said, you guys want to see something gross? Thought he was going to pull out his phone and show us a video. Instead, he pulls out a muffin from his pocket.
I ran out of hands, man. I had to put the muffin in my pocket.
And then he ingested that muffin. And he liked it. That's it. We're saying that falls under the category of you walk into the public restrooms here sometimes at the South Point Hotel Casino from which we broadcast, and you will see people with, like, drinks in there. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, that's disgusting.
I thought it was a great comparison by you because I think about it. I'm like, it's, you know, if I'm out on the strip or whatever and I got a cocktail in my hand, like, you got to go to the restroom. I bring it in there, but I think about that all the time. It was funny that you brought that up because it is gross to me that I'm bringing an open glass right into the restroom.
So Kelly will be eating things from out of his pocket for the rest of the show, except not eggnog, apparently, we should point out.
Correct.
We will talk baseball. Baseball begins tomorrow, and we will we'll bookend the shows. We'll bracket it with Jeff Francoeur, who's the current Atlanta Braves TV analyst, also an analyst at TBS for the Major League Baseball season, former Major League Baseball player, primarily known for his years with the Atlanta Braves. We'll get his thoughts on the rule changes, what that might mean, what his thoughts are on the NL East and beyond, and our own Josh Towers on the other side. Get his thoughts on, yes, I got to ask the rule changes question because I am more than anything interested in betting baseball because of those rule changes to see what we might be able to exploit. But we'll get Josh's bigger picture on everything as well. Matt Brown on the Texas Open, Valspar, as well as, of course, the Masters. We'll have him. Will Hill on both the NBA and college hoops. And Kelly, I love that you and I are going to discuss, maybe we'll discuss this with Will as well, but to make or miss the playoffs in the NBA. So teams in the NBA have either 5, 6, or 7 games remaining.
Mm-hmm.
The interminable NBA season, which will lead into the interminable first round of the NBA playoffs.
That's right.
Where it's like, okay, do we really need a best of 7 for these two teams? You know, that kind of thing.
Even I'm in the camp of cut it down to 5.
Yeah. Which they used to do, by the way. And before that, it used to be a best of 3 when I was a kid.
Yeah, that's too short. 5's good.
Well, they figured out best of 3 wasn't fair. They're like, wait a minute. A team that dominated the regular season could just have 2 bad games and that's the end of it? No, we can't do that. So to make and miss the playoffs is interesting because it's not to make and miss, although there are these markets about play-in, but we're talking playoffs. Playoffs. And so we got to see if there's a bet. Now, Kelly and I have not consulted each other on what we came up with as the best bets here, but I'm curious to see if we landed on the same 1 or 2. I'm going to guess we did.
Okay.
That's my guess. I have a feeling we'll be simpatico on this, but I don't know. Because there are some juicy numbers still available. And remember, the whole thing with the NBA play-in versus playoff is you're not officially a playoff team unless you're one of the top 6 seeds at the end of the regular season or you get through the play-in. Remember, 7 plays 8. 7-8 that close the regular season in the East and West. The winner is the 7th seed. Then 9 plays 10, the winner of which will play the loser of the 7-8 to determine who is the official 8th seed. So we'll get to that a little later on because I think there might be a better 2 that at least in a little span of a week or 2 weeks or such, you can get a nice bang for your buck. But I want to start with I want to start with the NIT from yesterday. Now, I know we talk about a lot of the bets we win, and certainly there's been no shortage of that here on this show over the last over all the years of this show, and certainly the last half a year has been a real boon. We hope to cash a Zach Edey Wooden Award winner this week on Friday, which, by the way, is interesting because they vote on the Wooden Award even during the first, like after the first round of the NCAA tournament. So they lost to Fairleigh Dickinson as a 1 seed. Purdue did. So I wonder if there's anyone who's like, I can't give it to Edey anymore. I don't care what he did in the regular season. I doubt it. But I got him at 5-1. It was one of these, you know, didn't even think about bets. A lot of people got him at a much better number. But it was sort of a Shohei MVP thing where I'm like, let me grab the last 4-1 in 4-1 in town before he becomes minus a bajillion, which is exactly what happened with both Shohei and Edie. So we'll see. I mean, there's, you know, Sabalenka and Rybakina this week. We win a bunch of stuff, but we rarely get to make fun of ourselves and highlight how stupid we can be as well. So I just wanted to do this. First of all, who could miss the excitement of the NIT? I know Todd Wishnev was very excited. Could we show the first of those two videos last night? Todd Wishnev getting hyped for the NIT semis last night.
Lullaby. That's like...
Well, that was the second of the bunch, but yes, that's like the kid is a mess. It's like chaperoning a hyperactive child to a basketball game and realizing you have no hope to keep him under control. Anyway,
how are the fans around you? How did they appreciate it?
Well, by the end, they warmed to him, yes, but I thought we were going to get kicked out at one point. It's like trying to not get kicked out of the Orleans, the NIT. But anyway, this was Wisconsin and North Texas last night to begin things of the two semis last night. And the total, if you remember, we talked about this last night on yesterday morning on the show, which was it had gone from 115.5 to about 114 when we were in here because Dr. Bob had released it as an underplay. Now, it had bounced back, I think, to 115 by game time. That happens a lot with his plays, too. But the short term was a bump down, if you will. And so 115 is where it closed, and you're like, okay, well, it's Wisconsin and North Texas. North Texas is a slow, slow team. Offensively, they're good defensive. Everybody knows Wisconsin's brand, so it makes sense. And God help us, what are we going to watch? Now, we didn't have any pre-flop bets. We didn't sort of follow Dr. Bob or anything. So the game starts, and the pace, Kelly, is lightning fast. Just lightning fast. These two teams, which you think was going to be a slog, they just go at it. And so literally by the first timeout in the game, by the first media timeout, which, by the way, Wishnev was screaming at the scorer's table, too, that they got that wrong. By the way, he had some gems. I was at the second game with Utah Valley, I was like, look how awkward Mark Madsen is. Mark Madsen, you know, former Stanford and Laker great, as they say. Probably best known for his dance at the Laker parade more than anything. I was like, look how awkward he is, the way he stands with his hands on his hips and his shirt is tucked into his pleated pants, whatever. And so, of course, he starts screaming, give Madsen a tech for the, you know, shirt and the pants. The best was with Utah Valley. He's like, UVU, UVU. That was the best. Anyway, so this first game, so by the first time out, usually, and Todd is great at these in-game bets, usually doesn't trigger one by the first time out, by the first media time out. But this was so ridiculous, and the pre-flop total was so low that I understood the argument of, it's so low that you better get in now and not wait another 4 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so we did. And at that point, it was 124.5. And we're like, over. Betting over 124.5 on this game. All right, and literally, like, Will Hill and I are texting back and forth. They're like, this is why in-game is so much better than pre-flop. You have to see the game, right? And so, Kelly, they go the first 17 minutes of the game, so up to about the three-minute mark of the first half, left in the first half, these two teams, North Texas and Wisconsin, combined for 67 points. 67 points. Remember, the pre-flop's 115.
Yep.
We got it 124.5. We're like, we're coasting in. Oh, we're so smart. I even was like, imagine if they score 80 in this first half. Oh, my God. This will be great. And then all of a sudden, Wisconsin and North Texas happened. For the rest of the game, remember, they were at 67 at that point, 3:28 left in the first half, to be precise. For the last 23 minutes and 28 seconds of that game, a grand total of 43 points were scored.
Yikes. Jeez.
The pre-flop under hit. Like, Bob hit his pre-flop under.
Yeah.
And he, by the way, he claims after the game, he's like, I didn't watch any of it. I turned it off. I thought it was a loss. I was like, please, you watched every second of it. Liar. Anyway, the rest, so 43 total points scored the last 23-28, including Wisconsin scoring a grand total of 13 points in the entire second half. By the way, North Texas just barely got there, even with that. And Wisconsin, in one of the more incredible stats you will ever hear, did not score a single point in the last 9:07.
That is just incredible. Not a single point.
Nary a free throw.
Jeez. And there's terrible basketball.
There's all kinds of ways you can break it down. Like from 11:10 to 5:38 in the second half, a grand total of 5 points were scored. Then North Texas did score four. But then the last 5:31 of the game, a grand total of 4 points were scored all by North Texas. But it was a 10-0 run to end it. But a 10-0 run has to be in quotes because they went 10-0 over like the last like half minutes of the second half. But I did. But, you know, the one saving grace was I bet North Texas on the money line when they were, you know, in the middle of that stretch because you could tell they were not too big. It was not, the stage was not too big for them. The NIT semi stage was not too big for them, but Wisconsin couldn't do anything. So bet North Texas at north of plus 200 twice. Bet them in a parlay with Pagula later, which somehow miraculously got home against the spread. So there was ways to make money back, and it ended up being a nice night. But those, the notion of how that game went total wise, the pace for the first, you know, 80% of the first half plus versus the rest of it was one of the more hilarious you know, things. If you go back and listen to our comments vis-a-vis the people who had the under pre-flop, who were like, yeah, no problem, got him, easy peasy.
This was the first of the two games?
That was the first of the two.
You had to suffer through the end of that game with that bet.
Oh, dude.
Oh, man.
Well, we had UAB, like, money-lined with the North Texas plus points in the second half as well, so it ended up being a fine night. UAB just gets by Utah Valley. So you have an all-conference USA NIT final, not to mention, of course, Florida Atlantic's in the Final Four. Conference USA,
best
juggernaut.
Best conference in the country.
Juggernaut. Anyway, fun night at the NIT. Thank God we weren't kicked out. Though apparently we tried. Coming back, Jeff Francoeur on baseball next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin here as well on A Numbers Game. Pleased to bring back on the show former major leaguer, probably best known for his years with the Atlanta Braves, for whom he is a television broadcaster, also a MLB analyst at TBS. Well, it's Jeff Francoeur, everybody. How you doing, Jeff?
Good. How are y'all?
Doing very well. We're doing great. Excited for the baseball season, as I'm sure you are, which begins tomorrow. And I just want to ask you, because I ask this of everyone on the run-up to this particular Major League Baseball season, and full disclosure, I come at this, as all of our listeners do, from a gambling perspective, so we're looking of ways to sort of exploit this. But what is your best guess, and maybe it's not even a guess, maybe it's an educated speculation here, Jeff, of how all of these rule changes will affect things early in ways that perhaps we can't anticipate?
Well, I think one of the big things is, okay, as a former guy, as a hitter, you've had more time between pitches to kind of think a little bit. So I was down, I did a spring training game last week, okay, and Jared Schuster, who won the Braves' fifth starter job, was facing Pete Alonso, and it was a 2-0 count. And within 28 seconds, not only did he get two strikes on him and go 2-2, he threw a fastball in and jammed him and rolled over. And my thought process to this is, hitters, for the most part, think as the at-bat. I know we talk about having a game plan, but you also have what you call mid-at-bat adjustment. And I think there's going to be numerous times where these pitchers are going to be able to exploit a guy getting a good hitting count, and all of a sudden it just happens quick. And by that, I mean, you're getting back in that box, that pitcher's throwing, and sometimes I think it's going to be hard for these hitters to think with the pitchers. And I think if a pitcher is rolling, he can really take advantage. I think what you're going to see is some of these starters, when they get on a roll, I think you're going to see them really rack up 5, 6, 7 innings of low-scoring games, at least early on until the hitters can adjust.
See, that's fascinating to me because you're not the first former major leaguer who has that sort of opinion, which is which is kind of contrary to the conventional wisdom of all of us who are just sort of speculating, which is, of course, the rule changes are designed to eliminate the home run, walk, strikeout world, that the environment that baseball's had all these years, to elicit more singles and doubles and stolen bases. But that's such a fascinating thing where it's like, oh, no, maybe short-term it will do just the opposite.
Yeah, and look, I think people put the ball in play. I'm not saying that, because we all want to see the ball put in play more. I do. There's no doubt. I'm sick and tired of seeing a hitter take 30 seconds between pitches. Like, the one thing I said when I did a spring training game and really have watched it, I would change the eighth, ninth inning to give guys a little more time. I'm not saying not have a pitch clock if you want, but take it from 15 to 20 seconds or 22. And the reason I say that is you want to build the drama a little bit. And to me, if you can get through those first seven innings in 2 hours and say 5 minutes, 2 hours, 10 minutes, which I think they will do, then you've accomplished what you want to accomplish. And that's, you've kept the people in their seats till the eighth inning. And if it's a good game, you're not going anywhere at that point. If you're watching at home and the game starts at 7:20, for instance, the Braves, and it's 9:20 and you're in the eighth inning and it's a good ball game, that guy's not turning off the TV to go to bed. Now, if it's the fifth or sixth inning, they might. So I would like to see, because I think back to that Trout-Otani. I could have watched that in 5 minutes. I couldn't have cared less how long that AD took. It was awesome. And so the only thing I don't want is those moments to get completely rushed at the end of a ball game.
That's also such an interesting take, because I was sort of speculating, and it's complete speculation, that relief pitchers, especially the fireballers, who take so much time in between typically, right? We all see it in our mind's eye, who take a lot of time in between pitches to get revved up again, that not only your point being a salient one, but also with them, it just sort of puts them at a slighter disadvantage because they're just going full heave every single time they throw the pitch?
Yep. I agree. I think this is a huge advantage for starting pitchers. I think for them, they're used to throwing 100 pitches. They get the ball. They, for the most part, go. I think, like you said, I was watching A.J. Minter for the Braves, a guy who last year took 23 seconds between pitches. And my thing is, when a couple guys get on, like you said, are they going to get gassed? Are they going to make a mistake because they force a pitch in there? I think that's going to be something to keep an eye on.
All right, Jeff, since you bring up former Braves and Braves alike, let's talk about that team, your former club, and for whom you are a broadcaster on TBS, and also the Braves, of course, locally. Let's just talk about this division. It's obviously top-heavy with the Braves and the Mets and the Phillies. The Marlins, a bit conventional wisdom, and betting markets a little ways back. And then, of course, the Nationals, a country mile back. But between the Braves, the Mets, and the Phillies, and maybe you have a thought on the Marlins, like, who do you really feel takes this division in the end?
Well, I love Skip Schumacher. I love the Marlins. They're going to get beat up this year. Them and the Nats are going to get beat up this year in the division. And I got all three teams making the playoffs again for the Mets, Braves, and Phillies. The one thing I will continuously say, and I heard Buck Showalter say this, until you knock off, to me, the Braves, you know, they're the favorites to win the division to me. I know that the other teams went and did some splashes, but when you look at the Braves starting pitching, depth-wise as a whole, you look at that bullpen, and then you look at that offense. This is a proven team with all proven positions of guys that win ball games. I mean, you look what the Braves did to the Mets last year. They ran them down and still won 101 ball games, and that was getting off to a horrid start last April. And so, you know, look, this team's built to win. They got great starting pitching. They got a strong bullpen at the back. And like I said, they got one of the top offenses. But, you know, I think a big thing, the Phillies lineup is going to be great. Even with losing Hoskins, I get it. But the one thing the Braves have been able to do year in and year out for the most part is stay healthy. And, you know, that's the big thing. Yes, Verlander, Scherzer, good Lord, man. On paper, it is awesome running those two guys out. But at their age, you also got to see if they can stay healthy, if they can throw a full year, if they're not going to miss starts. So I think it's going to be a great division. I think all three teams, it's going to come down to the end. And I said it, man, if I was betting there, I would say these same six teams for me in the National League are going to be in the playoffs again this year. That is my gut feeling.
Same six, no change. Interesting. So I guess,
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, go ahead with your thought on that.
I see the same six teams. Could it be different? Could the Padres win the division? Dodgers do the wild card? Yes. Could I see the Mets or Phillies win the division? Braves wild card? Yes. But I just think, you know, and then in the Central, you know, I just think the Cardinals have too much firepower. When you got Goldschmidt and Arenado in the same lineup, you know, I would be tough pressed and see them not win that Central.
Okay. Let me leave you with this. If I came to you from the future, from October, the beginning of October, and I said, hey, Jeff, maybe it's in the NL, maybe it's in the American League, that there is a club, and this is particularly an interesting question when it comes to baseball, right, because it's 162 games followed by a postseason that tends to be really a different game, right, different format, much more random. So it's cruel in that way. Ask the Mets, for sure, about their experience last year. But what's the club that most people right now don't feel are necessarily a postseason club, but it actually happened? If it did happen with some club, either AL or NL, what's the most likely candidate as far as you can see right now?
Well, I'll tell you this. In the NL, it's the Brewers, and it's because of their arms. When you got Burns, Woodruff, Peralta going out there, those guys have the ability to shut down other teams. I think a big key to them, if Christian Yelich gets back on the Christian Yelich train, that team could make noise because of that. Now, the problem for them is if they're teetering, you know, at 500 at some point, do they sell some of those guys and try to rebuild? That's going to be the question for them. But I could see them making noise. And on the other side, this team made the playoffs last year. But I'm a big fan of the Seattle Mariners. Me and Brian Anderson called that playoff series with the Astros. And I will tell you right now, the Astros swept through the playoffs last year. But if you go back and look at that three-game series versus the Mariners, because I called it, they had that huge walk-off. The Mariners dominated Game 1. They dominated Game 1, and Alvarez hit that home run. Game 2 was a one-run game. I think it ended up being 4-2 because there was a late Pena home run. But it was close. And then, of course, Game 3 went to 18 innings, and they won 1-0. So this Mariners team, I'm telling you, is really, really good. It reminds me of, like, remember 20 years ago, Sean Alexander, and they went to the Super Bowl, and no one ever talked about them because they're in Seattle.
Yeah.
No one ever watches them. They're in Seattle. But this Mariners team has a chance, I think. If I think it's a great team to put lay a little cheese down, you can get some good odds because I could see them going deep in October.
There we go. Lay a little cheese on the Mariners. Jeff,
you're always getting that team. You know, me and the NFL.
I got to run, but I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Jeff Francoeur, everybody. Coming back with Will Hill on the NBA Net.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
March Madness might be winding down, but that doesn't mean there isn't still plenty to bet on. Baseball's opening day is tomorrow, and VSiN Pro has you covered with our MLB betting guide with power rankings and best bets. Our experts are also getting ready for golf's first major of the year at Augusta. This year's upcoming Masters betting guide will break down every golfer in the field, plus futures bets and matchups. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for only $19 at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Kelly, could you run that other? This is Todd Wishnev at the NIT semis yesterday. This is getting hyped right before the first of the two games.
It doesn't get any bigger when the NIT happens in the North Texas against Wisconsin Badgers. Holy cow, folks. It's a big game. And because it's a big game, Gilly's getting down with a little bowl of Mexican food.
Just trying to figure out how you snuck Chipotle in there, man.
No, there was one stand at the Orleans, the beautiful, majestic Orleans Arena, where they had burrito bowls. And so I was eating the burrito bowls.
When you first sent me that, I watched it. I was like, man, I know Gil's been going to Chipotle a lot, but he literally went out of his way to get Chipotle before going to a basketball game?
Oh, man. Larry L., I would have paid $500 for the seat next to Wishnev and Gil last night and didn't give a damn about the game. We got a few of those. Will Hill joins us, everybody. He too, like myself, was like, oh, in-game betting, it's so much better than pre-flop. This is going to soar over. He joins us now, VSiN contributor Will Hill. How you doing, Will?
Well, now I see why they missed all those shots. I mean, who could make a shot under those circumstances?
It's just ridiculous. Oh, my God. Everybody should go to a game with him. It was just, what's the opposite of just scintillating basketball? That's what that was last night. It was unbelievable. It was so much fun, though, to see Wisconsin. 9 minutes of scoreless basketball down the stretch is just a – I mean, what's the line from Anchorman? I'm actually impressed. Yeah, the whole wheel of cheese. Yeah, it's amazing. All right, let's talk college hoops, the real college hoops, if you will. No, I'm kidding. March Madness, Final Four, you famously calling Florida Atlantic in the Final Four. You stop there, though? Like, you don't see them. You cannot bring yourself to think that this team could win it all.
I mean, now that you're two games away, I guess nothing's impossible. I'm starting to talk myself into them for Saturday. It's like I've been on the train this whole time. I can't jump off now. I do worry about the turnovers. I mean, you can't. That was so frustrating Saturday. Just turn the ball over every two or three trips. Just throw it out of. They whip it out of bounds, or they, you know, have an offensive foul. It's like they were up four at half against Kansas State. It felt like they should have been up 12 or 15 if they could just take care of the ball. It's a fascinating matchup because Florida Atlantic is so guard oriented, so perimeter oriented, with the four guards, and San Diego State is so built to defend the perimeter. I do think if Florida Atlantic can take care of the ball here, I do think they can win. Now, look, I'm just of the belief, and we'll get to the game, but I'm of the belief I'd be shocked here if UConn isn't holding up the trophy here in 5 days. I just think I know somebody mentioned you can get a minus 110 at Circa. I think to win the whole thing, to me, that's not a good bet. That's a great bet. So, boy, it'd be hard to see Florida Atlantic beating UConn. But, hey, if you get into a title game, you hit a bunch of threes, I guess anything is possible. And if they ever did do this, I mean, this is one of the handful of just great stories in the history of sports to see Florida Atlantic winning this championship here in a few days.
It really would be, right? It would rank up there in the pantheon for sure. I mean, I don't want to say it would be our Leicester City, but it's about as close to our Leicester City as there would be, right? 700-1 back in November to win it all. I mean, my goodness, right before the tournament, right? Late February, 550-1, you know? So
and this is a mainstream sport too. So I mean, I guess you put maybe the Giants upsetting the Patriots, although that's a one football game that was not whatever 300-1. Trying to think if anything in baseball comes close to that. I know some people talk about the 69 Mets, which is before my time. So I'm not sure. I can't really think of a parallel. But this is a 30-for-30. This is a movie. If they're able, look, now they're two games away. There's still a long shot to do it. But if they were able to do it, this is one of the great sports stories of all time.
Absolutely. Absolutely it is. Okay, so then just siphoning through what you were saying there, you think Connecticut at short minus money to win it all is a very good bet. I believe you called it a great bet. What about the two games this weekend? So you believe, well, it is 5.5-point spread against the Hurricanes, though. What do you do with that?
I bet it. I'm surprised it hasn't moved up yet. I do think it'll cross six, maybe even 6.5. I don't know that we'll get to a seven. I think there'll be a ton of sentiment for UConn the way they've just trampled everybody in their field. It's weird. They were down two at halftime. Iona looked like they had them on the ropes. And then they were struggling. St. Mary's, I think, had them down, 18-9, something like that. Usually the games get harder as you go on. It's very unusual to just steam through this tournament where you play a couple of close games in terms of the first half early in the tournament, and then you just steamroll everyone, Sweet 16, Elite 8. I know it feels square, it sounds square to be like, all right, they're killing everybody. They're just going to keep killing everybody. I kind of think they're just going to keep rolling through everybody. I know that's not usually how these teams win this tournament. Usually there's a close call. A Tyus Edney buzzer beater before you go on to win it. I know teams usually have that one encounter where they're almost eliminated, but I'm just not sure that they get it. To me, they look head and shoulders above pretty much everybody else here. I know Miami's guard play can keep them in it. I don't know if Miami defends well enough to stay in this game.
Well, they certainly don't defend well. I mean, and if we looked at the formula, Miami would just be the most outlying of all outliers, even more so than San Diego State would be. Challenged on the offensive side of the ball, not the defensive side in their case. But, you know, when you watch that Miami finish the other day against Texas, it's interesting to me that and I get it, UConn has been crushing everybody. They've clearly been the best team in this tournament. But, man, those Miami kids, I'll say it again, they looked like they were so ready for that moment. The Texas kids were tight. And so I just want to, like, before the Elite Eight, we were texting back with all the odds of the teams, and UConn was a short shot. They were like plus 200-ish, and FAU was 15-1. And just broadly, and I'm not making a case for either side or any of the teams in between, but just broadly, none of those numbers made sense at the time, because one side of the bracket, the FAU side, was much easier on paper than the UConn side. Now UConn may end up getting there. And I just said, I was like, I wouldn't be surprised if any of these eight teams at this point win it. And now after watching the Elite Eight, I kind of feel that much stronger about it, here in the Final Four. But you're okay. You're like, nope, I'm laying the points. UConn is just that good.
I do. And if UConn loses here, you could, you know, call me an idiot and say, hey, remember in the Big East, they were like a very mediocre team. They were losing games to Seton Hall. It's funny. They've had like three different seasons. They had the non-conference where they were basically Godzilla. They had in-conference play where they looked like, oh, man, is this team going to fall onto the bubble? They had lost, I think, five out of six, something really bad where they just didn't look good at all. And I remember before the tournament, like, you know, is Hurley overrated? What kind of coach is this guy really? And look, he might be two wins away here from a national championship. And the thing is, they're supposedly having a better team next year. I guess they got a ton of talent coming in. So I think they thought next year was really going to be the year they popped. So, look, I do think UConn wins in a one-game sample. You can't be surprised by anything, but I'd be a little bit surprised if UConn isn't holding up the trophy here.
All right, and just to clarify on the first game, the FAU game, you are not touching it. San Diego State favored by 1.5.
I'm probably going to bet the Owls. What kind of person would I be if I jumped off now?
That's what I'm saying. Come on, man. This is your Rembrandt, yeah. Will. This is your Rembrandt.
Salute the hoot, bro.
Salute the hoot.
Yeah, I think a first half under would probably be good in that game, too. Big gym, you know, little nerves early on. Florida Atlantic could be sloppy with the ball. San Diego State gets stuck offensively. To me, San Diego State's an under team to begin with, so I'd probably look at a first half under here. I think we'll see some nerves here early.
All right. Let me ask this broadly about the NBA. So here we are again, 5, 6, 7 games left in the season. Those are the remaining amount of games for every team, 5, 6, or 7. I come to you and I say, all right, I just landed on the NBA season. I want to make a bet. Leave it open. Could be an award. Could be miss or make playoffs. Could be a future. What's the one bet you think is good right now?
If you're looking for I'll give you two, which I know you asked for one. I think okay. Jokic at even money or slightly plus money is probably a good bet.
Agreed.
That's probably the best one. And if you're looking for a fun one, Clippers 7-1 to miss the playoffs. I know Kelly, our OKC, that was a tough night last night to lose to the Hornets. Yeah. That was brutal. But Clippers have two games at Memphis coming up. They got a tough schedule. You never know with Kawhi if he's going to rest, who gets hurt with them. I know it's only a couple weeks, but Clippers 7-1 to win the West. If they get into play and something bad happens, that's one if you want to take a flyer on.
Follow up to the Jokic one, because I made a Jokic bet the day before yesterday. Was it yesterday or the day before? The day before yesterday, plus 130. I agree with you there. But could it be that we are all picking the wrong horse here? That it is actually Giannis that will get the MVP, and that's much juicier, right? 5-1-ish shop around. That's 5-1 at DraftKings. Could it be that we're all off the correct trail here?
Certainly possible, but man, he's missed a ton of games, hasn't he?
Well, yeah, there's that. But I just wonder, like, again, it's the old Brandon Crawford NL MVP thing that we always keep bringing up, where right. My buddy in San Francisco is like, hey, Brandon Crawford's the MVP, right? Like, I just wonder if we're so close to the sun on this stuff. We're like, Jokic, and then the ESPN goes crazy about Embiid should be the MVP, and so the whole market moves. And there's Giannis, the best player in the world, you know, to most. Maybe it's him. I don't know.
The one difference is we got a little window into how these voters think with a couple of these straw polls, and the straw polls were overwhelming for Jokic. So I don't think it's a direct comparison, but okay. I know what you mean.
No, I like that. I like that. That reassures me about the Jokic bet. The one thing that I agree with Drew from yesterday, I don't think it's Embiid. Like, that's the one thing I'm convinced
of. Oh, me too.
Yeah.
Me too. Two-horse race. I agree.
Will, always a pleasure, man.
Yo, appreciate it. Go Boys Discord, twitch.tv/GoBoysNetwork.
I don't even have to prompt you anymore. You just say it. At Not The Will Hill. Thank you, Will. Beeson contributor and college handicapping champ who had FAU in the Final Four. Coming back, we'll talk some golf. Valero, Texas Open next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Attention, BetMGM customers. Have a friend who loves sports as much as you do? Well, here's a chance for both of you to earn a $50 bonus when they sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign into your BetMGM account and click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state that you use BetMGM in. Once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, you'll both receive a $50 bonus. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 30 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi and Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate all the feedback.
Tweet, tweet.
Tweet, tweet. A little Rockin' Robin. Mickey Baca, seriously, grand prize of the Beating the Book podcast contest gets a sports event with Gil and Todd, either Survivor or five games against the spread. Traction would be amazing on this.
Chipotle included or not?
Chipotle not included. A lot of feedback about our segment with Chrissy Andrews and about Steve Fezzik yesterday and their little beef, their little Twitter beef on Twitter Beef Tuesdays. Thanks to everybody for all the feedback on that. Henry's Boy, too, such a big fan of the show, guys. Gil, thanks for all the tennis picks and great betting education you, Kelly, and guests provide each day. Really interesting and entertaining show. Thanks, guys. And I thought, you know, and Fezzik texted me afterwards, so I hope he thought he got a fair shake on all that. Spanky checked in. Spanky, who many of you know, who organizes Bet Bash, among other things. He said, I've spent a few days at the South Point a few years back and was able to bet high six figures over the counter, no problem. There's nothing Chrissy Andrews and his crew ain't seen. Managing risk over the app will remain a huge challenge until Vegas has software with an auto mover.
Yep.
So Spanky checking in and backing up Chrissy there.
That second part makes sense. I mean, I do think the apps are, just because of the way that stuff is done here in Vegas, it's very different, and there's not that software that they can kind of run things without human beings monitoring it.
Richard Palma, great of you to play the side of Steve Fezzik yesterday on the show. Great of Chrissy explaining the book side. Very unlike other shows that brought in book spokespeople to bash Gil when he didn't get paid out on his Ego Future. Thank you, Richard Palma. Hashtag never forget. Really, people just chiming in on this stuff, which was great. And Chrissy would like to say more, I think, but at the same time, I think he got most of it out, I believe, on this yesterday. pardon me. But this one, I'll read this one. This is from Ryan Hyatt as well. Ryan Hyatt Media, who was the silent producer of Primetime Action.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly doesn't take offense to that.
No, are you kidding me?
Ryan Hyatt.
He helped fill at least one segment, like every night.
Every night with his question of the night. He was chiming in on the Twitter Beef Tuesday segment with Chrissy yesterday. And again, for those who are wondering what we're talking about, Steve Fezzik had tweeted that he said all these sharps get banned from the South Point. He was sort of lumping himself into that group. And Chrissy's like, no, nobody gets banned. Only you get banned. You're the Steve Fezzik is the only person who's banned. And I explained Steve's side of the story, and we did a little point-counterpoint. So I hope everybody liked it. But Brian Hyatt said, thanks to all involved for really good enlightening discussion. To me, this is where VSiN excels, and it works because men like Chrissy, Gil, Kelly, and even Fezzik as well are willing to have honest talks about the machinery that is sports betting. So again, on and on with those, and I couldn't appreciate everybody chiming in on that more. One person thought it was meh, so I was like, okay, sorry you thought it was meh. But, you know, we get all sides of it.
Sure.
I called it the Valspar earlier. What I meant was the Valero Texas Open. My bad, Valero. Sorry. It's the whole VNL thing.
Wait, is Valero the gas station?
That's
the
correct. Gas station, you know, right? It as a random gas station. That's right.
Valero Energy Corporation, yes.
That's correct.
Yes, the gas station. Yeah, Valero this week, Gil, down there in San Antonio. I'll be firing this up. This is the week before the Masters, so if you're betting golf this week, keep that in mind. I think it's always the big thing of the Masters cutoff has basically already occurred. Besides whoever wins this event, so anybody who's already qualified for the Masters, just keep in mind that they're probably tuning up for the Masters this week, working on some things. Top of the odds board, Tyrrell Hatton, he's 12-1. Ricky Fowler 18-1. Ricky Fowler not qualified for the Masters yet. Maybe won't be. If he doesn't win this event, there's going to be a lot of betting on him. That's why he is down to 18-1. Siwoo Kim, Hideki Matsuyama, Corey Connors, all 22-1. And then everybody else 25-1 or longer from there. So betting this is always interesting every year, Gil. Again, the cutoff has kind of already occurred from where the world golf rankings take place. So it's really just the last winner of this makes it in here. So betting it, I still think there's value in betting these events. You do have some people that are chasing to get in to that Masters field. You're just betting guys at a lot shorter odds than what you're typically used to seeing them at because it is a weaker field in general. As far as The guys that I looked at this week, Davis Riley was a guy that I really keyed in on. He's really long off the tee. That's going to be important this course. You've got smaller fairways, but easier to hit out of the rough. Scores here depend on the wind. That's something to check. If you're betting first-round leaders and first-round matchups, make sure you check out what the wind's going to look like tomorrow. As of last night when I checked it, looked like we're going to be a little bit windier in the afternoon tomorrow and Friday morning. That gives an advantage to that morning wave tomorrow. So that was really where I focused a lot of my bets around. As far as outrights for me this week, I did play Davis Riley 28-1. Likely will play him in a first-round leader as well. Played a top 20 on him. I do really like Davis Riley this week. I think this lines up as a good week for him. Matt Kuchar. Not qualified for the Masters.
Wow.
A crappy number on Matt Kuchar, who looked pretty good at the match play last week. So the other big thing about Kuchar here, he finished T2 in this tournament last year, T12 the year before that, T7 the year before that. So really, really good course history here in San Antonio. Played him 33-1 and played a top 20 on him as well, just because of his history at this course. You're going to notice one name on there that I've been betting to not much success. That is Cameron Davis. I'm going to blame this a little bit on a peer pressure bet from the rest of the long shots guys, because they were all on Cameron Davis. And I pounded my fist, Gil, because I said, there's no way am I going to be sitting here on Monday if Cameron Davis wins and I'm not going to have a bet on him. Thing to remember, if anybody's been tracking my golf betting out there, I was betting him a lot end of last summer and into the fall. He was playing really good golf. Had missed the cut in five straight events earlier at the early part of 2023, but it admitted he had been dealing with an illness that had really kept him off of his game and off of practicing for a long time. So he's feeling better, playing better, hoping to capture him at a number that you would have typically seen him at 6 months ago in a much stronger event. So there's the outright on him. Aaron Rye and then Garrett Higo finish up my outright card. The other one to keep in mind, you'll notice my matchups, I've got Fowler over Hatton. I've got Hatton to miss the cut. Hatton, Matsuyama, both two of the class names in this field, not only already qualified for the Masters, but dealing with injuries as well. So those are ones. Hatton, I was on last week. He injured his hand before that first round matchup. Matsuyama withdrew last week because of a neck injury he's been dealing with. Don't be surprised at all if these guys go out there and struggle Thursday, Friday, if they go in WD and fly into Atlanta to start preparing for the Masters down there. That's something that I'm going to be probably targeting. I know Matt Brown is as well. We'll talk to him later about that with his bets as well for the event. And make sure to check out Long Shots. Wes, Matt, and myself go over the whole event and started dipping in on some Masters stuff as well, which we'll be going heavy with next week.
We're going to get a bunch of you, if not all three of you, at least two of the three of you on Beating the Book Masters preview as well.
Yeah, we'll have to figure that out. We're also doing a live, we'll be doing a live show on Tuesday of next week at 11 o'clock.
Oh, look
actually.
At you.
Yeah, we'll be doing a Masters preview show here right on VSiN. So you'll catch that live 11 Pacific time.
What time? 11 Pacific on Tuesday? Oh, we're supposed to do the podcast right before that. That might take some wind out of the sails. All right. I don't know how many times you guys can do the same golf preview over and over. Do you have any Masters bets at this point?
I do. Yeah, I do. I have made a few, kind of just scooping up numbers along the way. Most recent one that I made was Max Homa, 32-1. Anybody who's been listening to us knows I like Max Homa a lot. 32-1, pretty long number at one of the class guys in the field. I think the one thing I always remind people of in the Masters. And Matt does a great job with this, but you've got all the senior guys who have won this event before. You've got all these.
So it's a super small, it's a small field to begin with, but it's virtually that much smaller.
Exactly. Yeah. It's really like 15 guys smaller than what it actually is listed at. So when you see 7-1 on Scheffler, that shouldn't scare you off.
It shouldn't.
You know, if you're really high on a guy like Scheffler, like I know you are, Homa 32-1. I got Jason Day at 85-1 like a month ago. He's like 25-1 now. I wouldn't be betting it at that. And Brooks Koepka 99-1 I played like a month ago. LIV guys are going to be a question mark coming to this event. They've barely played golf. We really don't know what to expect from them. But that was a long number on him. And Corey Connors 85-1 I think I played about 5 months ago. That number you can probably still get or better.
All right. No tennis picks today, by the way, for those who were wondering. We got home with Emil Ruusuvuori yesterday.
There you go.
In dramatic fashion. But nothing today. I mentioned yesterday, it's a chalk fest. Like this round, both men's and women's, beginning yesterday, is a chalk fest, and all the chalk is getting home. I expect that to happen again today, both ladies and men's quarterfinals in Miami. We'll come back. We'll do those NBA yes-no playoffs. See if Kelly and I are simpatico next.